Right. Good morning. Good morning, church. How great is our God? Today I will be before you in 2 Kings chapter 22. I'm going to be reading actually the whole chapter of 22. There's a lot of good things that I want to kind of highlight as I go through today, so I wanted to read the whole chapter. So please bear with me as I read that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this day, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, that you love us and you are here with us and that you will never leave us, Lord God. We thank you for those that have gone before us to show us the way. We pray that you help us, Lord God. Be with me, Lord Jesus, as I bring forth the word that you have given me. Help me to speak clearly, Lord God, and help us to receive your word. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Right. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. His mother was Jedidiah, daughter of Adaiah, and she was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent secretary Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrusted to the men appointed to supervise the work of the temple. Have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dressed stone to repair the temple. But they do not, they do, they, but they need not account for the money entrusted to them because they are honest in their dealings." Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. And then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book." And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Hakam the son of Shaphan, Akbar son of Micaiah, Shaphan's secretary, Asaiah the king's attendant, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and all of Judah, about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because of those who have gone before us and have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. Hilkiah the priest, Hakam, Akbar, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikvah, son of Haresh, the keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. She said to them, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the men who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says, I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book of the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me, burnt incense to other gods, aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who has sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you have heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they have become a curse and will be laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster that I'm going to bring on this place. And so they took her answer back to the king. As I did my study in, I really dived in deep to the different kings around Josiah's time frame. And I want to talk about four kings. The first king I want to talk about is Hezekiah. Hezekiah became king at age 25. He reigned for 29 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He removed all the high places, smashed the sacred stones, he cut down the Asher poles. He trusted in the Lord. He held fast to the Lord and he did not stop following him. He kept his commands that the Lord had gave to Moses. So Hezekiah followed the Lord. Then when he died, his son became king, Manasseh. Manasseh became king at the age of 12. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not follow his father, Hezekiah, who did right in the Lord. He followed the detestable practices of the nations around him. He rebuilt the high places his father had tore down. He erected altars to Baha and made an Asher pole. He bowed down to the starry host and worshiped them. He built altars to the starry host in the court of the temple of the Lord. He sacrificed his son in a fire. He practiced divination, sought omens, consulted mediums and spiritists. He led Israel astray. He did more evil than the nations that the Lord destroyed before Israelites. He did not follow his father's footsteps. He did evil. Then, when he died, his son, Aman, became king. Aman became king at the age of 22. He only reigned for 2 years. He too did evil in the sight of did evil in the Lord's eyes like his father Manasseh. He worshiped and he bowed down to idols. He forsaked the Lord. He did not walk in obedience. But he only lived to reign for 2 years because his officials conspired and killed him. Then his son, Josiah, became king. Josiah became king at the age of 8 years old. He did not follow his father. He did what was right in the Lord's eyes and did not turn right or to the left. He followed the ways of his forefather, David. When Josiah was 26 years old in the reign of his 18th year, he was having the temple repaired from the destruction that his father Manasseh had done. A book was found during this cleaning of the repair and the repairs of the temple. And in that book, they realized that it was the book of the law. And when it was read to him, he realized that there was things in there, the things that they were doing wasn't enough. He was repairing the temple. But it wasn't enough. There was more that needed to be done. So he inquired of the prophet, Huldah, to find out what was going to go on. What did they need to do? As you heard me read, Huldah did say that because Josiah humbled himself and his heart was responsive, that the Lord said that Josiah would not see the destruction of Judah. So I wanted to highlight those kings because I think it's helpful for us to understand that There is no limit. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of these pictures. I was able to pull up some of the pictures. And so this is a bronze statue of Baal. The next one is the sacred pole. And these are some things that they were worshiping. They made these things with their hand. You can go to the next one. They made these things with their hands, and Israelites were worshiping them. And we know that the Lord had given that command that you should not worship any other God. You should not make any idols. You should not make anything that you worship. We'll go to the next one. So I just kind of thought it'd be fun just to kind of show you some of those. Let's go to point one. My first point is there is no age limit on doing right in the eyes of the Lord. There is no age limit. Hezekiah became king at the age of 25. Josiah became king at the age of 8. David was told that he was going to be king when he was a child. God picked him as a child. Hezekiah and Josiah both modeled their behaviors after David. Even though their fathers did evil in what they were chosen and what they did, they chose to follow David. They followed David, who was following the God, the Lord of their ancestors. They wanted to make sure that they did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But they didn't model their behaviors after the people that were right before them. They didn't model their behaviors of the people of the land. They didn't model their behaviors after their fathers who did evil. They found someone who they knew modeled the behaviors that were what the Lord wanted. They followed David. And David was known to be the king after the Lord's own heart. He loved the Lord. And so Hezekiah and Josiah both said they both were very active in following the Lord. And because of that, they were blessed. Josiah, he didn't have to see the destruction of his people because God took him before it happened. Point two. When Josiah realized while repairing the temple that there was more than just repairing the temple that he needed to do, he inquired about what he needed to do. The reason why he realized he needed to do more was because the law that God had given to Moses, it helped him to understand that there was so much more that they needed to do than just repair the temple. And it helped them to figure out that they needed to do more. But he also knew that they had done some horrible things, and he knew that they had aroused God's anger. And he needed to know, what more do we need to do? So he inquired of the Lord. He went to someone who had a relationship with the Lord, who could speak to the Lord and help him figure out what it was that was going to happen. What did they need to do more? For us in our time, we have the Bible. So we can read the Bible. The Bible is going to tell us what the Lord wants. The Bible is going to give us that roadmap that helps us stay close to the Lord. It's going to keep us close to the Lord. We also have prayer. Because Jesus, when he died on the cross for us, he made that connection where we have now that bridge that we can communicate now. So our prayers are helping us. And so we can pray, we can read. Those are two things that we can do that will help us continue to build our relationship with the Lord and help keep us on the right path. So praying and reading the word is going to help us stay focused and stay on the path that God has placed us on. So there is no age limit to what we can, no age limit to how we follow the Lord. There's no age limit. So you can be old, you can be young. It doesn't matter how old you are, but we can do right in the Lord's eyes. We just have to follow him. Follow him. And the way that we're going to do that is by knowing what he wants us to do. The way that we know what he wants us to do is by reading his word and praying, following that. Our third point, after you read and you inquire of the Lord, there are some changes that sometimes have to happen. So you have to humble yourself. You have to have a responsive heart to the Lord. It's not just enough to read the word. It's not just enough to pray. There's action that needs to happen. And I think that's the hardest part, is the action part, the part that we have to do something. You can't get up and check off a box and said, I read chapter Kings chapter 22, and now I'm good. I'm done. No, if God is tugging on your heart, if God is pulling on your heart, if God is trying to convict you of something, that means that there's a change that needs to happen. And you need to be humbled. You need to humble yourself. You need to have a responsive heart. I put in here, I wanted to talk a little bit about what humble means. And this is the biblical version of humble. Center on a correct, realistic self-view before God, characterized by submission to God's authority, thinking of others' needs as more important than your own, recognizing that all you have is a gift from God, rather than you boasting about it. Having a responsive heart means that you're willing to respond to whatever God is calling you to do. So those are the two things. Those are things that's not about you. It's not about you. It's about how you're helping other people, how you're helping the Lord. It takes that I out of it, and it's about someone else, and it's about God. So humbling yourself is really about God, what is it that you need me to do? What can I do better? How can I do better? Who can I help? Our walk with Christ is not just about us. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. He's called us all to go out into the world. And that's why we have to have a humble and responsive heart, because we got to hear from God. When we hear from God, we know the things that we need to do, the things that we need to change, the things that we need to be willing to do. And sometimes they're not always easy. One of the situations that I remember that they talk a lot about in the Bible, talk about it when you're in children's Bible class, David and Goliath. David had a responsive heart and he was humbled. He was little when he went against Goliath, but he felt like God had called him to do this. And it wasn't that he said, I'm going to go kill him. He said, I'm going to go with the Lord. The Lord is going to come with me. And with that mindset, with that responsive heart, he was able to defeat Goliath. And everything that David did, he was able to do it because he responded. Even when he did wrong and he switched it and he responded to God and he humbled himself, things were turned around for him. And then we have Jonah, who did the complete opposite. Jonah and the big fish. We all know the story about that. That's one of those stories they tell in Sunday school when you're a kid. Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to. He didn't care about the Ninevites. He didn't want them to change their ways. He wanted them to be punished. God called him to go and talk with them, tell them to change their ways or they were going to be doomed. But Jonah didn't want to do it. He tried to go the opposite direction. And what did God do? Tossed him into the water. They tossed him into the water. He was swallowed up by a big fish. But he had to have a responsive heart. He had to humble himself. And I even say that he still had a hard time because he went and did it, but he did it grudgingly. He wasn't happy about it. When we do things for God, God wants us to do it, but he wants us to do it with a happy heart. But he wants us to do it because it's what's right, it's good. Hezekiah followed God and he was successful in all that he did. Josiah followed God and he was spared from seeing the fall of Judah. Manasseh led Judah astray and brought the Lord's anger onto them. Amon only reigned 2 years be before being killed by his officials. Let's just think about that. I think about that a lot and how we have an option on who we decide to look up to. Don't say we don't look up to people because we do. We look at people and we see what they're doing and we want to model them. But who are you going to model? I think about how Josiah was young and he chose not to follow his dad's ways. He chose to follow someone who was doing right. He didn't follow in the steps of the two kings previous him who were doing wrong. He chose to do what was right, and he was young. My big idea. Do what is right. Just do what is right. Do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. God has called us all to do what is right in his eyes. The Bible has given us the guide to what is right. And I like to preference the Bible gives us the guide, not the world. The world doesn't tell us what's right because as I'm standing here, I can say that I have seen so many things change before, what's good, what's bad, and they don't stay the same when it comes to the world. But you know what doesn't ever change is the Bible. The Bible doesn't change. So you can be guaranteed that when you read the Bible and it teaches you what's right, it's going to stay what's right. It's going to teach you what's wrong. It's going to stay what's wrong. The world may flop back and forth between what they want, but that's because it's about them. It's not about God. So when you're looking to see what you need to do that is right, you can't weigh it against the world. You can't weigh it against worldly people. Sometimes you can't even weigh it against people that you see in the church. Let's just be real. But you know who you do weigh it against? The Bible. You weigh it against the Bible. The Bible is going to be our roadmap. The Bible is going to help us know what we need to do, how we need to do it, and then we need to spend time in prayer. Because sometimes the things that God asks us to do isn't always easy, and you're going to need strength, and that prayer is going to help you get that strength that you need. So when you're seeking to do what's right, don't look to your friends. Don't look to your neighbors because they may have half of it right. They may have half of it wrong. Their motives may be wrong. Look to God. Look to the Bible. Seek the Bible. Inquire of the Lord in prayer and ask Him, what am I doing? Where should I go? What direction do I need to go? What should I do? What is right in your eyes, Lord? What is right in your eyes? Are you following the wrong people? Stop. Do what is right. God is ready to help you. And as we close, I want you to spend, we're going to just spend a few minutes and just in prayer and just ask the Lord to just show us areas in our life that we need to change, areas in our life that He's calling us to get right with Him. There is no perfect person in this world. The only perfect person that we have is Jesus, is God. Jesus walked this earth. He was the only perfect one. He had no sin. We all have sin. We all have sin, and we have all fallen short. So I want us to take a few minutes to just asking the Lord to just show us what areas in our life that we need to change, that we need to focus on, that we need His help in. Because we have to stop following the wrong people. We have to do what is right. And God is ready to help us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this day, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask that you come and you help us. Show us those areas in our life, dear Lord, that is not right, that is not right with you. Show us how we can do what's right in your eyes, Lord God. Not our eyes, Lord God, not the world's eyes, Lord God, not our friends, our parents. No one else matters but you, dear Jesus. Show us what we need to change, and then help us to change it. God, we need you. We need you more than ever. Show us where we need to change. Show us where we need to grow. Show us what we need to do, Lord God. We just thank you, and we ask that you just continue to do this for us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.